A child in a psychiatric crisis is a terrifying challenge for parents. But then imagine not being able to find psychiatric care for your child. This is all too common. Earlier this week on Stateside, we explored a University of Michigan study that finds half the children and teens in this country who need treatment for a mental health problem are not getting it. One big reason, a severe shortage of child psychiatrists. Like Dr. Sheila Marcus. She's a pediatric psychiatrist at C.S. Mott Children's Hospital at U of M, and she leads the Michigan Child Collaborative Care Program. This is a project to train primary care providers with psychiatric support skills. Dr. Sheila Marcus, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for doing this piece. I think it's such an important thing for all of us to know about.
And I think we're going to surprise people. So a Washington Post report finds there's an estimated one psychiatrist per 1,807 kids who need mental health care in the U.S. How dire is the shortage of child and adolescent psychiatrists in Michigan? How do we compare to other states?
So Michigan, like really every state in this country, is also in just desperate need for child psychiatrists. When we look at the counties in the state of Michigan, more than half of them, about 65, have no child psychiatrists. So really north of Clare, there are very few. There are a couple in Grand Traverse County, maybe one to serve the entire Upper Peninsula. But most children who are in the northern part and the rural part of the Michigan have no access to child psychiatrists. Even those who are served in the community mental health agencies only have access to telepsychiatrists.
So how did we get here? Why is there such a national shortage of child psychiatrists?
Well, you know, if you think about it, in some ways, it's a perfect storm. So in many pediatric subspecialties, there are too few specialists. But if you think about pediatric surgery, very few children need surgery in any given year. If you think about mental health issues, about one in five children will have an issue related to mental health, including anxiety and depression and learning issues and attentional issues. So it is a very, very common problem, and yet there are very few people who are specializing in this area.
Dr. Marcus, why is that? Why aren't people choosing to specialize like you did in child psychiatry?
Well, I think it's a variety of things. I think, like with mental illness in general, there's a bit of a stigma attached to going into the field. So I think that's a piece of it. I think because reimbursement is such that it's sort of tilted in the direction of funding procedural specialties more than cognitive specialties, the reimbursement for mental health has not been as strong. I think that in a place like Michigan, which is in the Midwest, because of this incredible shortage, people can choose to literally go to any city in any state in the country. So the majority of the child psychiatrists are clustered on the coast, and it's challenging, frankly, to recruit them to the Midwest.
And then you think about the consequences of this shortage. I want to dig into that and the challenge for parents who are seeking help. A mother from West Michigan knew we were having these series of conversations, and she emailed me to describe her family's experience when her then high school son had a sudden, very severe onset of depression and anxiety. And here's what she wrote me. I'm quoting her. We spent 2 days driving from Benton Harbor to South Haven, to Holland, back to South Haven, back to Grand Rapids, looking for a place that would treat him. Finally, she was told, okay, there's a place. It's in Detroit, 3 hours from home. And as she puts it, imagine having a heart attack and being told, you have to drive 3 hours for a hospital. Now, finally, they found a psychiatric hospital in South Bend, so they drove to Indiana. He was hospitalized and stabilized, but he needed outpatient psychiatric care. And this was in mid-March, and there were no appointments with anybody local until June. So this family wound up driving back and forth to South Bend for psychiatric care. He is doing well now, so that is the good news. But does their story surprise you at all?
Sadly, this mom's story does not surprise me at all. I'm reminded of a call I got from a primary care physician taking care of a child in the thumb area. And this grandmother said, I don't know what to do about this four-year-old. He's running into the street. I can't take care of him. I can't move this quickly. I'm going to have to hospitalize him. And they were going to take him across the state to Grand Rapids. And when I began to ask the question, not why is he behaving like this? But what happened to him? What I learned was that his mom was opiate addicted and his dad was in jail, and this child had witnessed significant domestic violence. And so this child was moved to the grandmother's care when he was age 3. So this child, who had been called bipolar and oppositional defiant disorder and who was already on 3 medications, didn't have any of those things. This was a child who had suffered from trauma. And this is a story that's way too common. It is very common for people to drive 2 or 3 hours. And unfortunately, it's also common for them to stay in the emergency room, sometimes for days at a time, waiting for a hospital bed to open. Those beds that are for teens who are depressed are frankly easier to find than for children who may have autism and aggression. Those beds are so-called ICU beds. So these are kids who may need additional nursing support to stay safe and to keep others safe around them. Those children can wait sometimes for weeks for a hospital bed to open up. And you would think that a place like Ann Arbor, which is one of the better served areas, could serve people quickly. But again, because people come to us from all over the state, our access is also challenging because we're serving people both from the region as well as from as far away as the UP.
Dr. Marcus, then what are the consequences of this limited access to mental health care for children and teens?
Well, we know that undertreatment of these illnesses is frankly catastrophic for a child's trajectory in life. So things like academic decline, inability to form comfortable intimate relationships, early pregnancy, it's associated with use of alcohol and drugs, and untreated illness in general increases rates of medical costs. So our medical colleagues will tell us all the time that because people are not getting adequate treatment for their mental health conditions, they're seeking inappropriate treatment for what they believe are cardiac conditions or GI conditions, when in fact treating their depression or anxiety would far better target the underlying issue.
Now, I know there's an attempt to address this shortage in child and adolescent psychiatrists through the program you lead, MC3, the Michigan Child Collaborative Care Program, been going on since 2012. What do you actually do in this program?
So the MC3 program is really an attempt to get child psychiatry expertise into every primary care office in the state of Michigan. So what we provide are both phone-based and telepsychiatric consultations for primary care physicians throughout the state. So we're aware that primary care docs really are doing a majority of this work, but many of them feel ill-equipped to do so, and most indicate that they're spending about 40% of their time on mental health issues. So we've been able to hire behavioral health consultants who are sort of our boots on the ground throughout the state. Primary care physicians can call that individual who will in turn get us questions, and we will respond to the primary care physician on the same day with answers, not just about what medicines to use, often that's what people think about, but it's really to teach them how a child psychiatrist thinks, to think about what might this child be experiencing, what's the differential diagnosis here, what kinds of therapy might be useful, what kinds of self-help programs or concepts would be helpful for a child. One of our largest findings is that many children are being inappropriately medicated and inappropriately diagnosed with conditions that are really related to trauma. And so we are attempting to get better trauma-informed care into the hands of our practitioners. But it's really to help support primary care colleagues and teach them evidence-based care for common children's mental health conditions.
Is MC3 a foundational fix, or is this a bandage over a deeper problem?
Well, I think it is an attempt to begin to support primary care docs, particularly with mild to moderate conditions. In a perfect world, we would have enough specialized child psychiatrists to serve children who had more moderate to severe illness. I don't see that happening, at least within the next decade or so, because our attempts to recruit people locally are just so very challenging. But I do think that working together with primary care, you can really form a network of providers and begin to funnel the most severe cases to child and adolescent psychiatrists for direct treatment, and mild to moderate conditions to primary care with support for treatment. If you think about our continuum of care, with the bottom of the triangle residing in primary care for mild conditions and the top of the triangle residing in specialty care, I think that's really a model that could work for the state and for many of the states in our country.
Dr. Marcus, what would you say to parents like the mom who wrote to me and said, I know many others who are in the same position have similar stories to tell, a child in crisis and they can't find any help nearby. What do you say to them?
Well, I think number one, we hear you. I think that this is a crisis that is beginning to reach the highest levels, both within the state, within the university, within academic centers, and within primary care centers. And people are beginning to put their heads together to say, this isn't right, this isn't fair, it's not good for these parents, it's not good for these children. So things are beginning to change. Number two, thank you. Thank you for your advocacy on the part of your children. Your children are the lucky ones who have parents such as you that are reaching out on their behalf. Number three, be persistent. Things do change. Things change day to day across emergency rooms. So make certain that you're calling several centers. In the case of waiting lists, put your child on every waiting list that you can. People who are diligent and call frequently do tend to get moved up. And number three, know that we're trying. It is not that we don't hear you or don't want to attend to this. I think we are struggling with resources that are just far too scarce. Make your voices known. I know that at the state level, we're working with advisory groups that include parents. So we want to know what are the issues and what this feels like from your vantage point.
And what else should we be doing to address the shortage of children and adolescent psychiatrists in Michigan and really across the country?
I think beginning to speak to both legislators and others in graduate medical education programs around the importance of supporting these specialties so that we can recruit additional people. I think the public health crisis and giving voice to it as we are here and in national newspapers will begin to help. I think beginning to disseminate information and get it into schools, into communities, to police. And I think working together, I think having primary care physicians and clinicians working with specialists together so that we can sort of link arms and take care of kids will be a piece of this puzzle. But it's a big challenge.
Dr. Sheila Marcus, pediatric psychiatrist with C.S. Mott Children's Hospital, and she leads the Michigan Child Collaborative Care Program. Dr. Marcus, thank you so very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.